الحمد لله
الحمد لله
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. The way that human beings are made, people like perfection. It's just inherent. And people like perfection to the extent that if they see any type of aib, any type of deficiency in something, they immediately like to cover it up. For example, you buy a new car, perfect paint job. You're parked in the parking lot. Someone comes and keys the car. The first thing that a person's already thinking is, which paint shop do I go to and how can I get it repainted? Because they feel uncomfortable. Is the scratch hurting the person? No. Is it doing anything to the car? No. But the perfection that was in the car got altered in a small way and a person felt very uncomfortable with it. And you can apply the same thing to every aspect of a person's life. That any time a person sees an aib, they don't like it. And every time they see the lack of an aib, they appreciate it and they're drawn to it. So when a person is looking for a spouse, they look for someone with unblemished skin. And in fact, women, they spend tremendous amounts of money trying to make sure there's masks and Hollywood blacks and glam glow. And you know, they spend they have dermabrasions and they go to a dermatologist and do whatever you have to do to try to get the perfect skin. And particularly here in Florida, you know, there's a lot of push on aesthetics and cosmetic surgery and the like, because people want to look shapely, people want to look beautiful, and they want to feel as close to quote-unquote what their concept of perfection is as possible. Now, the first thing that's very ironic is no matter how quote-unquote perfect anything is around us, it's always not us. No matter how perfect anything seems, is always deficient in one way or another. The reason that something is always deficient is that everything in khalq, everything that's been created, has limitations. You can buy a brand new Lamborghini, but you're not going to break 300 miles per hour. It can look slick, it can look smooth, but it's not going to break 300 miles per hour. You can buy a Ducati, right? And you can try to hit 0 to 60 in whatever, 2.5 seconds, but you're not going to break 1 second. You can, you know, make your skin the most beautiful it is, but it can never be without any pores. No matter what you do, because we live in a world that of limitations, no matter how perfect anything appears to be, it's never perfect. So if on the one hand you have a human being who's looking for perfection, and on the other hand, you have an environment, an entire world surrounded with things which purport pseudo-perfection, but nothing's really perfect. And that is, in one way, I mean, even if a person was a kafir, even if a person was a disbeliever, if you think about it only in utilitarian terms, this is the value of their being a god. This is the value. And from even a completely hedonistic, utilitarian perspective, why people need to believe in Allah. Because by definition, Allah is perfection. By definition. He's not, because there's only one thing that cannot be bound by any limitation. وَهُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. He can do whatever he wants. تُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ تُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَتَرْزُقُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. So what he does, what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. And there's no one to ask him why he did it and how he did it. He's so qadir, he's so perfect in every single way, that this is something that a human being is really looking for. So when a person is attracted to a car, or a person is attracted to, what's that called? When a person is attracted to a woman, a person is attracted to wealth, when a person is attracted to any of these things, what they're actually looking for is perfection. And inside, what they're really looking for is Allah. You know, they say in this country, looking for love in all the wrong places. And that's really sometimes the situation of a Muslim growing up in the West, that we're looking for perfection in all the wrong places. Perfection belongs to Allah. And the proof of that is in what we actually read in Rasulullah every single day. The word Subhan, what does that mean? You read English translations, they say glory. Right? Glory be to Allah. I mean, I remember going to Sunday school, growing up, and the teacher would say, glory be to Allah. We memorized it, and we would say it, and I just know you're in sajda, you're thinking, glory be to Allah, glory be to Allah. And it made no sense to me. I couldn't connect with that. I was like, okay, I'm just saying it, but you say it like a robot. It doesn't make any sense. The meaning of Subhan is tanzihullah anin nuqs wal aib, is to eradicate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any attribution of any deficiency or any type of shortcoming. So there's two ways that you can have perfection, right? One perfection is you have X, Y, Z, so on and so forth. And another way you can define perfection is by negating everything that's a shortcoming. If a person has no shortcomings, then they're perfect. So for example, you can say a person is intelligent. But if you negate, so that's one way, they're perfect in their intelligence. But if you negate from them stupidity, the result is the same. They're still supremely intelligent. So subuh, right, or Subhan, is the negation on the negative side. And on the other side is Quddus. And that's why the angels, this is their tasbih, Subuhun Quddus, Subuhun Quddus. This is all they say. Meaning from the negative side, knock it out. From the positive side, exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what it means to really understand the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was the first principle. The second principle is when we see, if we agree and we acknowledge that perfection only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, then we have to understand ourselves as naqis. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. That man has been created weak. Meaning you're going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءٌ. All of the sons of Adam are making mistakes all the time. They're sinning all the time. You know, and I often say there's only two types of people. I mean, there's the anbiya, they're ma'soon, right? That's different. And awliya are mahfuz. But then, you know, amongst general people, there's people who are sinners and they know it, and there's people who are sinners and they don't know it. Everyone's sinning. Everyone makes mistakes. The imam makes mistakes. The alim makes mistakes. The regular person on the street makes mistakes. This is part of our nature of being human. But like I said in the beginning, people don't like imperfection. They don't like aib. And they don't like the nisbah of aib to themselves. So what happens? What is the human reaction anytime we make a mistake? So you try to cover it up. Go to a website that you should not have, it ends up in a bad way. The first thing a person does when they're done is they want to delete the history and clear the cache. That's the first thing. A person did X, Y, and Z. The first thing they're worried about is that I hope this doesn't get out in the community and other people find out. In fact, many of the sins that people do, they are only done when the door is closed. Right, when they feel that no one is watching. In fact, I was with one of my teachers in the Haram recently, and we were just sitting with him in front of the Haram, in his hotel room, and he just gave sort of a spontaneous talk. And one of the points that he made is that a person should strive to leave sin, but to leave sin for Allah, not to leave sin out of fear that people will find out. Sometimes people don't shave their beard, not because they like following the sunnah. They're just like, if I go to the masjid tomorrow like that, what is everyone in the masjid going to say? Sometimes people come to the masjid, not because they want to come to the masjid, but basically you're the religious person, and if you don't show up in the masjid, they're going to say, where's Ahmed? Sometimes people don't have a girlfriend, not because they don't want to have a girlfriend, but they say, subhanAllah, you know, if Zubair has a girlfriend, and someone finds out, my name is going to go down in society. It's not the fear of Allah, it's the fear of people. فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِي. You don't fear them, Allah's saying, fear me. وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَى. It's more befitting that you fear Allah. And so the funny thing is, sometimes the worst sins that you think anyone can do, right? And people have these sins that they lock away in the back quarters of their mind, you know, they put them away in a closet, and they feel guilty about it. Sometimes they try to go into denial, but every now and then it just peaks, it rears its ugly head, and it makes a person feel terrible about themselves. And they push it away, they try to hide it, they put it in a closet. And when they do it, they did it in a situation when they felt that no one was watching them. They felt that no one was watching them. But it's as the Imam just read in Salah, هُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah's watching. Human nature wants to hide everything. The fact of the matter is, no matter how you hide it, where you hide it, how craftfully and supremely a person makes an effort to shove it under the rug, Allah SWT is looking at it. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. The zahir to Allah SWT is like the batin. The shahid to Allah SWT is like the ghayb. Something unseen is as seen to Allah SWT as something which is unseen. And something that is hidden is as seen to Allah SWT as something that is manifest. It makes no difference to Allah SWT. Sometimes people are so good at hiding their own faults that they are even able to trick their own selves, hide it from their own self. One thing is hiding it from everyone else, and one thing is being able to hide it from your own self. And people do this because it's very difficult and sometimes ugly to confront and to attribute. It's a type of very subtle kibr. Because a person has an aib, then you're down. You're close to the earth. You see yourself as lowly. And no one likes that. We want to see ourselves as pious, as good, as lofty. And so, by sort of putting away these other things, then we're able to maintain that image of ourselves. But as one of my shaykhs said, he said, "Koi bolne se ban nahi jata." You can tell yourself, you're a wali, doesn't make you a wali. You can tell yourself you're an alim, it doesn't give you ilm. And you can sell yourself that that's not a sin, it's still a sin. It's an ugly reality, it's very difficult to confront it. And you know, sometimes people are so unwilling to confront it, and they hide it so that they don't even get help about addictions that they have for years and years and years in their life. They're just too shy. I mean, sometimes I know people for long periods of time, and they come to me with all their problems, and then I find out after 5 years, you know, after a long period of time, that this is going on. And I was just thinking, why didn't you just tell me before? And they say, we were too shy. Before they were shy of me, they were shy of their own self. They didn't feel like, I can't believe that I am doing this. They felt that there's this sense of an I. I'm supposed to be good. I want to please Allah. How could I be doing something this low? And because of, they just try to push that away. They didn't want to confront that. Until finally it comes to the forefront, and then you can actually work on it. As long as something is pushed away and a person doesn't see it as a problem, then you'll not be able to work on solving it. You know, I was sitting with a brother recently. I was talking to him. And, you know, there was some, you know, marital counseling going on. And so the brother was looking at things that he's not supposed to be looking at. The wife completely knows about it. And so the wife said, well, you know, look, you have an addiction. He said, well, no, it's not an addiction. And he was trying, I said, stop. If you're doing something that you don't want to do and is repetitive, it's an addiction. I just stopped him right there. And he knew that it was. And until you accept that it is an addiction, you're not going to be able to get out of your life. And there's so many things like that. We lie, but we say, oh, we don't lie, it's only white lies. Right? We do riba of others, but you're like, what else am I supposed to do? Well, everyone does it. I mean, everything has a reason, and I'll get to it, but the idea is that no matter how much we try to shove these things in the closet, number one, they're in full view of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and number two, sometimes that's a very heinous thing to do. When you look at sins, you know, there's transgressions that can be occurred to another person. But sometimes as the transgression becomes closer and closer to you, the worse it becomes. For example, everyone will agree zina is a terrible thing to do. If you do with someone zina with someone that you don't even know, right, a kafir person, that's one thing. Say you do zina with a Muslim person, gets worse. Say a person does zina with one of their relatives, it becomes worse. They do zina with a closer relative, so they call it incest. It's even worse. And this is something, even if you're an atheist, don't believe in deen, they'll say that this is an immoral behavior. As it moves in, it becomes worse and worse. Sometimes, the same thing applies when we are being dishonest. One thing is deceiving others. That's bad. Then you can deceive your parents. That's worse. But sometimes the worst thing is when you deceive yourself. Because you're hurting yourself. You're not hurting anyone else. It doesn't hurt Allah. It doesn't hurt the community. It doesn't hurt anyone. It hurts our own selves. It's like we are our own enemy. Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi. Ya Allah, I did myself it. I'm my own enemy. Why? Because I'm not able to be honest with myself. Until a person can just look at them and say, look, this is what I am. Yeah, I have problems. And yeah, I'm going to try to work on it and make it better. That is a turning point in a person's life. To accept that is very hard. And it takes a tremendous amount of courage to do i'tiraf al-dhunub. Look, everyone's going to acknowledge, and everyone is going to acquiesce, and everyone is going to admit to their guilt on the day of Qiyamah. فَأْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ. On that day, no one's going to make these excuses that, Ya Allah, this... I mean, on that day, I mean, it's going to be in front of you. These a'mal are going to have physical realities. You can't explain it away. فَأْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ. They're like, Ya Allah, yeah, we did it. One of the du'as that really stick with me from one of my mashayikh is when he said that, Ya Allah, hum iqrari mujrim hai. That, Ya Allah, we're criminals and we fully attest that we are criminals in front of you. We throw ourselves at the mercy of the court. And this is how it was. Like, I mean, you look at Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. This is how our akabir, this was their mentality, that they understood their own reality. Man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbah. This is not hadith, but this is the statement is true, that a person recognizes themselves. This is when you're honest with yourself, then you can be honest with your reality, and then you can really know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate reality. If a person is lying to themselves, and this is the nature of being a kafir linguistically is, in Arabic, they call a farmer a kafir. Why is a farmer a kafir? Kafir is someone who takes a seed and he puts it in the ground and then they cover it up. You don't see the seed. The nature of kufr is denial. The nature of kufr is denial. That something is manifest, it's clear, the truth is staring you at the face and you're like, no. And that's why it's so ugly. That's why it's so abhorrent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you know it's the truth and yet you look the other way. And we're like, okay, but only kafir would do that. But we do that all the time with ourselves. And to give you an idea, I was saying that this is how our mashayikh were. Take the example of Imam Hanifa rahimullah. One night, he spent the entire night, he's reading salah, and he's just reading one ayah. وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. That on this day, be separate, O criminal. You're a mujrim. You're a sinner. You're filth. And on this, and so he was, in his mind, he said, I'm existing in this world on the sadaqah of the righteous, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put satr over me. But on that day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes me out of the barakah of the righteous and the sulaha and the salihin, then what's going to be my hashar? I'll have no shade. This is that individual that most of the known world has followed his understanding of the Quran and Sunnah over 1400 years in this ummah. And this was his state in salah. So where are you and I? Maybe that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that maqam. Because he had that humility. Because he understood Islam. That's deen. If you look at denial, and this is basically that's what we're talking about, right? People being in a state of denial. Denial about their incapacity, denial about their indolence, denial about their lack of raghaba for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their lack of shawqa for Allah, their denial about their lack of preparation for the akhirah, their denial with regards of their lack of remembering death, their denial in terms of their attachment to the dunya. You know, people like to say, oh subhanAllah, I'm so simple. Right? MashaAllah, I don't have any love of the dunya. You know, I was listening to this interview. I mean, there on the panel was Zakir Nayak, and there's some other people over there. And so there was there's a Muslim actor. And so the person was saying, the interviewer is asking them, they're like, in one of his films, he does sajda, or he prays salah. So he's a big Bollywood actor, and they said, look, you're representing that. And he said, yeah, we need to be open about our, you know, religion and so on and so forth. I'm very proud to be Muslim. And so she said, you know, this is very unusual that someone actually prays salah in a film. And this, I mean, obviously that's a huge irony there. And he said that, I mean, his response was, and so she said, you pray 5 times a day? So she just asked him point blank. And he says, well, you know, I would love to, but, you know, obviously I can't or something. I don't get time to do. So, all right there. But I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every moment. I'm just thinking, if you remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single moment, then how can't you pray 5 times a day? That's denial. In his mind, he thinks that, okay, I'm not able to pray 5 times a day, but I have such a ta'alluq with Allah. I'm so close to Allah. I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that I don't have to pray because at least I'm always remembering Him. You're remembering Him when you have that girl in your hands, sure. You're remembering Him where hour after hour you're breaking hukum after hukum after hukum of Allah, and you're remembering Him. And in his mind, this is what happens. You create an element of denial, and then in your world, subhanAllah. You know, one sister, a person, the imam or the sheikh said to the sister, you know, they were talking about hijab, and she said, you know, the hijab is in my heart. The hijab is in, I mean, her meaning was, and this is true, that some sisters, even though they don't wear the hijab, they still have hayat, they don't date, they don't do these other things. So the imam was very, mashallah, very wise. He said, sister, just take the hijab out of your heart and put it on your head. Take it out of your heart and put it on your head. It's already there, right? Now you just have to transition over there. But see, people, they think that, oh, look at all these niqabis, they do so many wrong things. You know, mashallah, I might not do niqab, but at least I don't have a boyfriend. Mashallah, that's good. Don't have a boyfriend and also do the hijab. This is what I'm talking about when I talk about denial and people not being honest with themselves. This is actually a sifa of the munafiqeen. Summum bukmun umyun fahum la yarji'un aw kasaybin min as-sama'i fihi dhulumatun wa ra'dun wa barq yaj'alun asabi'ahum fi adhanihim min as-sawa'iq hadhar al-maut wallahu muhitun bil kafirin yakadu al-barqu yahtafu absarahum kullama adaa lahum mashaw fi. The munafiqeen, every time, you know what happens is sometimes it becomes very clear to them. They're munafiq, but sometimes the truth was so clear, like, wow, that miracle just happened in front of our face. And we had moments like that in our life, where everyone can attest that they felt like they were touched by God. They felt like the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly intervening in their life. And you can think of more than one instance, probably. When you think about that, you're like, I can never disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after this. that experience in front of the Kaaba, that experience when your family member was sick, whatever it was, that miracle happened to you in your life. كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْ فِيهِ. Then they move. Because when something is clear and you accept it as the truth, مَشَوْ فِيهِ وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ. And then when their shak, their shukuk, their nifaq, their kufr, their denial overcomes them, قَامُ. Then they stand still. If a person is, and there's a secret in this, it just actually occurred to me right before I was speaking right now, when I come to the masjid, that if you really think about this ayah, when you talk about spiritual progress, it can only happen when there is dhaw, when there is light. When a person has to get out of their denial, then they can make progress. If not, وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُ. They're just standing in one place, you're just stuck. So sometimes people say, I'm trying to be so good, I'm doing all these trying things, I want to get close to Allah, how come I'm not going anywhere? Just see what zulm and what denial that we're dealing with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created the deen in such a way that someone can try to get close to Him and they're not going to make progress. That if a person comes to me walking, أَتَيْتُهُ harwala, that Allah will come running. It cannot happen that a person is trying to become pious and Allah will push that person away. Allah will come running. The problem is that person thinks they're coming closer to Allah, but they're doing so many other things which are not correct. You know, one time there was a person who was undergoing some type of spiritual difficulty. So I said that, you know, they said that, oh, this is because of X, Y, and Z reason. I said, look, that's not the reason. So then he came and he said that, oh, you know, there's this very subtle, and he, something very subtle spiritually, in the spiritual realm, you know, very daqiq, subtle thing that, you know, that he mentioned. And I was just thinking, this is not the reason. So I probed further, and then I found out that he was missing salah, I was finding out these other things. So this is the problem. This is the problem. But in the beginning, it wasn't apparent. It wasn't clear. So, the idea is that we need to be honest, number one, with ourselves. When you talk about denial, or abnegation, that's the other word that, at least in Freudian psychology, they used to talk about this. There's different levels of denial. One type of denial is flat out the worst type of denial. That something is fully clear in front of you. And you say that, no, that's not there. Now, we can remember in our lives when things like that happen. We don't remember it. If we don't remember it, it's because we try to repress it. Let me give you a very simple example, which might be a jolting reminder. We all get into discussions or arguments with other individuals, whether in high school, whether in college, whether with our spouse. We win some, you lose some. You win some, you lose some. Can you remember one time when your quote-unquote opponent got you in the corner? And you know that they're right. How hard was it to swallow it? That's denial. Right? Then person comes up with something, oh, you know, I don't want to talk about this, or you go into some other topic, or you know, you get your wife in the corner, she completely knows, she says, oh, well, you never do anything about me, and she thinks brings up something from 20 years ago. You're like, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Because it's clear, but a person just dives into denial. And that's what the kafir does. Sometimes it becomes clear that there is Allah. Sometimes it comes clear for them that Islam is the truth. There's some people who, it's our tafsir that we didn't give them the da'wah, they don't know the message, they're in jahl, right? They just don't know. But the people who know, sometimes it's so clear to them. But it's too hard. I mean, I remember one person saying that, you know, it makes sense, but it'd be too hard for me to go against my parents. I mean, I can understand that. It's hard. It's like, you know, imagine if our child, they were attracted towards Christianity, they're like, my parents would kill me. Right? I mean, they just think, it's for them. They're also human beings. They're also thinking the same thing. But the idea is they see it as the truth. So sometimes our denial is like that. Then there's a one level of denial underneath that. And that is the level where a person blames others. It's your fault. But instead of taking the fault inside you, you start pushing the blame on everyone around you. I don't do hijab, well, no one around me does hijab. I don't pray salah, well, this is the 21st century and this is America. I don't read Quran because I'm a doctor and this is my circumstances. I don't, you know, do zikr, but subhanAllah, no one does zikr. At least I pray 5 times a day. I'm better than anyone else, you know. I couldn't tell the truth. Oh, because, you know, that was a very hard thing to do. And who actually is that honest anyway in these days and age, this day and age? Oh, I had to tell the truth. Oh, but that person would have taken advantage of me. Meaning they try to push the blame on everyone else except their own self. I remember when I was early in medical school, I think it was the dean. I was in touch with my dean throughout medical school because I was trying to prepare him to let me go to study in the, you know, Ulum al-Sharia at one point in time when I had to take a break. But one of the things that he said, it really stuck with me. He said that, it was him or someone else in the medical, so he said that when there is foul play, when someone messes up in medical school and they come in front of the committee, one of the things that they, what is it that they look for when they're going to nail the person and kick him out and expel him from med school or keep him in? They want to see whether or not that person takes responsibility for his own actions. If a person starts talking, well, everyone else was cheating, everyone else was using the materials, what else was I supposed to do? Oh, I had so many family problems. If they, you start making excuses, then they say that this person doesn't have insight. And this person doesn't have insight, we're not going to allow him to continue. If in the court of the world it's like that, then how will it be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jalla? People want to see insight. People want to see itiraf. And so that's one level that a person, they start blaming others. It's like on the day of judgment, this is exactly what people are going to do. They're going to start blaming shaitan. Rabbana ati, or they're going to blame the thought leaders. You know, they said the whole culture was doing this. It was Madison Avenue. It was marketing. It was Fox News. It was, you know, Polo. It was Armani. They made us dress this way. They'll blame whoever they can, right? Rabbana atihim dhi'afayn min al-'adhabi wal'anhum la'nan kabira. It's them. Kubara'ana wa sa'adatana fa'atihim dhi'afayn min al-'adhab. It's our leaders, it's our presidents, it's our countries, it's always someone else, it's not me. Or they start blaming shaitan. They're like, oh, shaitan did this. He's the one who told me. I wanted to follow you, Ya Allah. Same blame game. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ لَا تَخْتَصِمُ لَدَيَّ.
But the opposite sahaba, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, always say, I'm munafiq. And he goes to...
صح صدق ما شاء الله. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't argue in front of me. قَالَ قَرِينُهُ. His qareen, his friend, his little shaitan friend. رَبَّنَا, my Lord, مَا أَبْغَيْتُهُ. I'm not the one who let him astray. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ فِي ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ. It's, he was the one who was messed up. It's not my fault, it's his fault. He's going to wash his hand like this and he's going to throw you in the gutter. Everyone that you try to pass the blame to, they're going to push it off. And then the third thing that sometimes people do is something called minimization. This is also a type of denial. And this is the last thing that we'll talk about. That sometimes a person is doing something very wrong. Even though it might be a very big thing, they try to make it look like a very small thing in front of themselves. Right? They try to look at a very small thing. So a person, I mean, let's take an example. A person says, oh, it's only sunnah. This is the sunnah of that Nabi who cried his tears for you, who shed his blood for you, who gave his life for you. And then you say, it's only sunnah? Meaning our attitude should be, it's sunnah. I mean, our mashayikh, they would go 40 years where the kiram and kajibin would not have a chance to write a sin for them. Not even something khilafi awla. Right? Something that is not haram, that is not makruh, but that's not a good thing to do. It's khilaf al-muruwa, you know? They wouldn't get a chance to write that. That's what you call taqwa. That's what you call piety. So this idea of minimization, trying to take, I mean, they say that, you know, there's a discussion of is there anything called a saghira? When you talk about sins, they talk about kabira and saghira. Major sins and smaller sins. There's ikhtilaf on the ulama whether or not there's anything called a saghira. So, well, of course, many scholars do hold the point, and there's plenty of وَالَّذِينَ يَشْتَدِمُونَ كَبَائِرِ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمَ, so on and so forth. There's many proofs that there is something called kabira sins. There's some ulama who take the stance that there's no such thing as a saghira. And in fact, whatever point that you stand on the issue, the attitude that our elders have had on the issue, they said, do not look at the sin that you're doing it, that you are doing. Look at against whom you're committing the sin. Do not look at the sin that you're doing, but look against whom you're committing the sin. In that situation, even if a person leaves their zikr, you see these very extreme statements from some of the mashayikh that, you know, a second without the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like kufr. Is it really kufr? No. Any alim, any qadi, any mufti will tell you it's not thing. But he says it's like kufr. Why? Because they're saying that my Allah, who gives me so much, for me to not remember in this, who would do this except the kafir? They were looking not at what they were doing. They weren't doing a sin. It was their lack of doing a good deed. And then they just look at Allah and they're like, wow. Right? How could I be doing this? And that would humble them. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, makes us amongst those who have insight, who have basira, who have firasa, who are able to acknowledge their own humanity, their own faults, and that becomes a catalyst for real and abiding change. You know, a person should not feel bad. Oh, let me actually end with this, something positive, I guess, or way forward. When a person recognizes how bad they are and accepts that, then they feel like dirt, which is good, because that's what we are. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ طِينٍ. Right? We are dirt. So at least the first step is that we recognize who we are. And then the second step is the person is like, what do I do now? Allah is going to throw me in the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create human beings to throw them in the hellfire. He created them so He can put them in Jannah. Just make tawbah. And then every day, then you will feel like I have a reason to make tawbah. After every salah, you'll say, Ya Allah, I'm so sorry, I'm not remembering you enough. Ya Allah, I'm so sorry, I'm not doing this. Ya Allah, I'm so sorry. And it will come from your heart. That's how a person becomes pious. Right? So sometimes the journey towards perfection starts with realizing our own imperfection. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this yaqzan, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who are able to adorn themselves with akhlaqi hamida. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.